Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Hello and welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. Tonight we have a hell of a show for you. You know, my first guest, when you think of history, you really don't think of fighting. You think of, you know, events that have happened in the past. And well, tonight I'm going to change your thought on that, because this young man that we got on our show, not only did he rewrite the history books in wrestling, but he's transitioned over to mixed martial arts. He made that transition last year in 2016. He's set to make his second fight appearance in Bellator. You know, I just had to have this young man on the show. His story is heart-wrenching. With that being said, Joey Black Ice Davis, welcome to the program.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me today, man. It's a privilege.
Oh, it's son, the privilege is all mine. Anybody that goes to Notre Dame and accomplishes what you did, it's a privilege to have you on my show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You know, Joey, like I was telling your father before we went live, you know, I did a lot of research on you. I don't generally do that for my shows. I generally like to shoot from the hip. But You're a horse of a different color. You have come, I've seen so many articles, and I told your father this, you come from obscurity. You know, all these articles talk about the hard road that, you know, Joey Davis faced. But you know what? Let's talk about what was inside of Joey Davis, the person himself, family-wise, life, that helped Joey Davis pick himself up from obscurity and to become a wrestling champion and phenom.
Man, got to just start from my father. You know, having a dad, especially coming up in Compton, is just a blessing. You know, my dad didn't have a dad, so he put all his blood, sweat, and tears into me. So I was just unfortunately blessed and lucky every day, because I don't know where I'd be right now if it wasn't for my dad. And then I could go on to the story where my dad introduced me to one of his friends and one of my great mentors to this day, which is Antonio McKee, who's just my idol, you know, in different ways in life, and especially just keeping the mentality of staying focused, making sure I'm on top of my training, and just making sure, you know, everything like that is okay too. So just those two men, I was just fortunate to have in my life that kept me focused. So. If it wasn't for those two men, I wouldn't have probably made it to college. I wouldn't probably have had the success I had or the nitty-gritty grind mode I have still to right now. So it all starts from those two. And of course, the higher power of the Lord, too, God, of them all, because he's always in my corner, been in my corner, and been talking to me throughout my whole process and journey, telling me I was a special kid, to be honest with you. So I'm just lucky and fortunate and just blessed, and I'm just lucky, blessed.
Yeah, well, you truly are, and then you kind of bring up a name of a gentleman that I look to as my mentor, you know, a man that I go to when I'm down, and that's Antonio McKee. That man, I've met that man, God, years ago, but he truly became a focal point in my life and in guidance and thought, probably about a year ago. I mean, here I am, 51 years old, and I go to a man who's younger than me for wisdom and knowledge, you know. But that's just a true testament to who Antonio McKee is. When you look at the upbringing that you had, son, and you look at all the mentors that you've got in your life, you've got plenty, your father and Antonio McKee. When you went to Notre Dame and you walked away rewriting the history books at 133-0, when you look back over your shoulder now, what was your inspirational – what was your most inspirational moment, and what guided you through those years?
To be honest, it was just wanting to be something special. To be honest with you, I just didn't want to be like the average Joe. You know, I wanted to be something special. You know, I was always around special people like Jordan Burroughs, got the feel of him, and I thought I could be something like him one day. So it was just being around great inspirational people at the time when I was at Notre Dame, because, you know, the people was looking up to me as, you know, we don't need you to lead us. And, you know, I've always been a leader. You know, I'm named after Malcolm X, and always been a great leader of picking my own things. Like, you know, I was a football player, you know, ran track, you know, played other sports as well, and I just found my own way into wrestling from Compton. So just trying to find my own way, trying to do my own thing to become the next big coming up and star. You know, that was always my dream, to be a star in somehow, some way, some form. So going into Notre Dame, it was already a process of lacking because it was a Division II program. So not the lacking or, like, you know, but I already knew how I thought I was a D1 athlete all the way from the get-go, but I knew I didn't have the grades. I didn't even know about D2, D3, or none of that, you know, coming from California or from Compton. I just thought it was either D1 or JUCO. So especially so when Ralph found me going back to college, it was just, oh, man, well, I can make the story here. And then going into winning my first title, the first title, you know, was just because people were doubting me, saying that what I couldn't do. If you're going to doubt me, that's just a problem, because there's nothing I never could do in life with the role models I had. Then the second year, I had people, you know, coming after me, you know, trying to beat me, knock me up, saying the first year was lucky. And then once I won that year, the third year, they were, you know, I thought, they said, you can make history. You know, if you could do it two more times undefeated, and then I just, you know, prayed on that, and I just went to work hard on it, and I just worked extremely hard, and I was just blessed, you know. And then after winning that, you know, going into your question, I still wasn't happy. You know, maybe because I won it too fast, maybe because I won it too easy. You know, nothing was too easy, but it was just, you know, I felt I could do more, you know what I mean? And that's why I'm going into MMA, just trying to reach out and find my max. My max potential, you know what I mean? Trying to see what can I do that's going to shock me. You know, even though that was shocking, it was legendary, you know, but, you know, a lot of my success hasn't caught up yet. So I'm still trying to do more and more while I'm young and while I still got it, you know, while I don't have no injury. So I'm just going to stay humbled about it and just keep going forward. So winning those four titles, what I'm trying to say is I feel like I can do more. So I'm not that happy with it. Because, you know, I'm not in the house yet. I don't have my favorite car. I don't have my favorite things. I don't have none of that yet. Yes, it's a thing that I, you know, it's in my heart and will always be, you know, legendary for my kids. But I still think I can do more. And I always kept that in mind. And I had great friends to tell me that, too, as well.
Oh, most definitely. You know, you made your outcome in 2016 at Bellator 160. Happened to be an event I was at. You know, then somewhere along the lines, you know, you get this mentorship from Antonio McKee. You're set to face JT Roswell at Bellator 182. What guidance has Antonio McKee instilled in you, and do you look up to him for, as he is the builder of champions?
He always keeps it 100 with you. That's the thing. He always lets me know I'm one of the coldest motherfuckers on the planet. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. He's just always just keeping 100 with me, building my confidence up. You know, he's been knowing me since day one. Just a great inspiration. You know, he's since 5 years old. So he just gets in everybody's spirit, man. He boosts them up somehow, some way. And it's a lot of coaches that can't do that. You know what I mean? So that's the biggest thing for him. And why he's a great coach also. You know what I mean? Because he's an athlete himself. You know what I mean? He can play all the sports in the world and a trainer. So there's not a lot of coaches that was an athlete and can still do it the way he does it to this day. So I'm gonna listen to somebody like that. That's one of the baddest dudes to me. If you can do it how you were doing it when you were doing it and still do it to this day, okay, coach, you got me. So that's a big inspiration to me as well.
Oh, definitely. You know, as you know, he's the last guest on my show tonight. He's done my show many, many times, and so is AJ and all of the crew over there at Team Body Shop. You know, it's a tremendous attribute for you to have that type of corner, son. You know, let's take a step back to 2016. You get this call from Bellator. What was it in Joey Davis's heart that really helped him make the decision that you were going to transition from wrestling into mixed martial arts?
Oh, man, that's an excellent question, man. I've been practicing MMA, training MMA since I was 14, 13, you know, really banging with older men. So I always thought I was going to do it, but when the time came up, I actually had to, you know, because someone told me before that they were interested in me. He'd been telling them about me and stuff like that as well. But when the time came up, I actually had to sit back a couple of months and really think about my life, where I'm like, man, I'm really about to go in here and really get after it for money, and people don't really give a crap about me in wrestling no more. They're gonna want to test my ability. So I really took a lot of time and a lot of focus into making my thoughts So it took me about 2 months, man, really, really, and I already knew about it. So it took me about 2 months to really say, okay, I'm going to do it, to make my decision. Yeah, so I was real scared, nervous of the whole thing because, you know, it could change my life, you know, it could change my whole life perspective and never go back, or, you know, it could be the worst thing for me because I don't want to make a fool out of myself. So anything I want to do, I want to be the best at, and that's the goal.
And you truly are proving that, you know, when you – I mean, you got a hell of a fight set up. You know, I think it's going to be a tremendous camp for you. As, like I said, Antonio McKee is the builder of champions. You just look what he's done with AJ McKee, and he's still, as you said, he's still partaking in the sport today as a practitioner. And you got to take your hat off in that aspect. How has this road been for you and your father in the building of Joey Davis Jr.? I mean, how much has it taken away, you know, from all aspects of life to see you make your dreams come true?
Oh, man, I missed a lot of birthdays, a lot of family scenes, and I'm still catching back up with family and things like that, but I'm home now, so, but it was all worth it. You know, my family loves me, my nieces and cousins and sisters and brothers, and they're all young still and just all vouching for me, you know, to come back and get vouched for them is cool, it's a blessing, but, it took a lot of hard work and dedication, but my dad always been cool. My dad wasn't like the strict parent, like what you like. I don't know, man. God was really in my corner. I always loved going to practice. You know, I'm the type of kid that always had like new, tried to look the best in practice. My dad always hooked me up. I was spoiled, you know, so I liked it to look good and like to go to practice and work hard. You know, it was nothing else to do. I didn't really like school, so I was like, man, I'm gonna go to practice and show my dad what I can really do. And things like that. And I always liked to go to practice. And it was a tough journey, but we made the tournaments fun when we traveled and stuff like that. And the only hard part was going to college and playing in Cleveland and not seeing my dad and mom as much. As that was the only tough part. You know, I had to grow up and mature and become a man out there. And that was the only tough part, but I think I handled it well.
Yes, well, you truly have. I mean, your whole career you've handled quite well. As speaking with your father, and I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here. You know, you're a tremendously smart individual, and it goes with this next question I'm going to ask you is going to prove that. I mean, you went undefeated at Notre Dame. You transitioned into a sport that you're doing tremendous at. You come from an area of California that isn't the best in the world, but you look at life and it didn't sway you in any manner. And then now you sit back and you get a chance to look back over your shoulder. You get a chance to realize what you accomplished. In your heart, how does it make Joey Davis feel knowing that he didn't let life tell him what was going to be dealt to him? He made his own path. And you did that coming from obscurity. How good does that feel in your heart, son?
Honestly, sir, that's a great question. You know, I see a lot of my friends making money and doing the things that they're doing in football, basketball. You know, I even have my girl telling me sometimes why I didn't do this and that, you know, and making my own journey. I feel humbled and blessed, you know what I mean, because I see a lot of people make a lot of mistakes at my age, making the wrong decisions. And putting contracts up, you know, going to the wrong, you know, people that they shouldn't be around. And I'm just so fortunate that I'm still around people I know. So I just still feel humbled and blessed and in God's hands, you know what I mean, because it's something's coming big and I got a lot of legendary moments. I got a lot of movie moments in my life and I'm still hungry. So I'm just lucky and blessed, you know, the sky's the limit of what's going to happen if I stay focused and humbled. So I'm just going to stay humble.
Yeah, it truly will. But you took life and you even put it, you know, past where you're at now. Speaking with your father, correct me if I'm wrong, but either you're majoring in communications or you're going to get your major in communications. But either way, you're looking at the future after fighting already. What brought Joey Davis so much passion for life but also gave him the knowledge to look ahead to the future? Was it your father? Was it your upbringing? What was it, son?
Just seeing people around me fail. You know what I mean? I had a lot of people around me, uncles, cousins, a lot of friends, and people that just you know, wasn't believers, you know, doubted. And my dad said, we're not going to have one of those. We're going to have somebody who graduated from the family in college, you know, even though my brother already beat me at it. You know, he's 10 years older than me, though. And I'm going to have some role model for my little sister to look up to, you know, because our family, we didn't have that. So, just being a lot, growing up in Compton, man, was tough, but I learned a lot, and it was fun for me, and it made me see, it makes you have to go in life like you can't quit, you know what I mean? It's either you're going to be a beast, or you're going to be a sheep, or a wolf, you know what I mean? So, and that's how I look at every day in life. I ain't trying to fail, because I came too far not to get where I want to go. So, and that's how I got to go, and that's the way God's going to take me. Because, you know, that's the only way.
Oh, hey, I'm there with you, bro. You're a tremendous young man, you know. It's people like you that instill me and make me realize why I continue to do what I do. You know, you transition from the mat into the octagon. You hear the cage door lock. What was the difference for Joey Davis on the mat versus hearing the cage door lock for the first time? Did something feel different? Did it click for you? What was it that made you feel at home in Bellator?
Man, nothing even clicked yet until after the fight, to be honest with you. I was in there playing around, you know what I mean? In there, it's real. This dude is trying to, it's like violent, you know what I mean? And in the wrestling match, I was always particulate, you know, slick, you know, precise, knew when I'm going to hit you, know when I'm going to get you. You know, and this, it's like you don't know what's going to happen. Something could pop up out of nowhere. So, you know what I mean? This second fight, I'm a whole different monster than the first fight. Even though the first fight, you know, I looked at calm, well, collect, you know what I mean? But I learned a lot the first fight. So I'm going to come into this one even more vicious. You know, you got to be vicious in the cage. You know, on a mat, you can't be too vicious because, you know, you can get tired or whatever. We'll look up. You know, a person can be more slicker than you and you can mess up. Cage, you got to be a whole nother monster. You got to be your own created person. I got to come out the black ice, you know, the coldest, baddest dude on the planet. You know what I mean? The guy that's going to make it look easy, spectacular, fanciest. So that's how I wanted to look. I worked hard for it. I'm going to try to get there. So that's how I got to be in the cage and what I learned, and that's what did click the first one. I got to be a whole different, vicious, creative player.
Yes, I agree with you, you know, wholeheartedly. You know, I usually save this question for people that, you know, are world champions, have been in the sport, you know, most of their lives as veterans and as a pro and things of that nature. But I think you're a gentleman that I could ask that question. You know, you've already started a legacy for yourself in wrestling, and now you're doing that in the sport of mixed martial arts. You're creating a legacy for the future of your family. When you look back and you look at your father and you think about it for a moment, what does it mean to you, Joey, that not only have you succeeded in graduating from school and college and other tremendous feats, but now you've created a legacy for your family to look back on and remember for future generations?
It hasn't hit me yet. It hasn't hit me yet. That's probably a question I need to wait a little bit. But to be honest with you, I don't feel like I've done anything yet. I don't feel like I've done enough. I need to do more, and I need to stay humble. That's just a question too far to pass down the road for me right now, to be honest with you, sir. So I'm going to wait on that. I don't feel like I've built anything yet. Not until I change the household, I get a few cars, and, you know, make some dreams come true. And that's the goal.
I do like that. I like that passion in you, son. But, you know, most people, and the reason I asked you this question was because most people would look at just what you did in the wrestling world and what you've done, you know, educational-wise. And you walked away from Notre Dame undefeated. You were tremendous in your own right. You rewrote the history books in wrestling. So, I mean, just based off that, most people would consider that they've created a legacy. To hear you say that you're not ready to answer that question, it truly appears that there's going to be a great life for you, Joey. You have all the tools, what it takes to be a world champion. You have the mentality, what it takes to be a world champion. You know, what does it mean to you to be able to see the world take a handful of it and strive for that determination? And what does it mean for you to be able to have the backing of your father and Antonio McKee with you on this journey?
It means the world. I thank God for it every day. I go, what would I be without these two men right now? Because I don't know if I'll probably be, you know, a gangbanger or what not, but I know I wouldn't be trying to become a world champion or become the best person I could be. So, you know, these two people I'm very lucky with, and they're happy to be in my corner as well. We're just blessed, man. I got no more words for it. And just me and my cousin AJ are clicking and bonding, man. We have our fights and nicks and bumps, and that's what makes us closer. You know what I mean? And I'm just loving it, man. Whatever happens is going to happen. I'm just happy to be part of it with them, and I'm just excited to see what's going to happen. I'm only 23 years old. I'm still hungry. I'm really prepared for my fight this month. Hopefully everything goes well, and I'm looking to have fun with my family afterwards and celebrate, and I'm just excited. Just excited, man. Just excited.
I'm glad to hear that because I can't wait to see this next fight. I believe I'll be shooting it. You know, the thing that you kind of let slip out there, and I like it, is, you know, that your family with AJ McKee. What does it mean to you, Joey, to also have people like Emmanuel Newton, Baby Slice, Anthony Pretty Boy Taylor, and the cast of characters at Team Body Shop? What does it mean for you to have that type of family instilled in you from over there?
And we just got Aaron Pico as well. You know, I've been on Aaron for a long time, and he just started training with us, helping me prepare for my fight as well. So having all these guys, it's like a movie. It's like a movie life, man. We all got different personalities. We all hang out, man, and it's just crazy. We all in the same sport, so it's like a movie. So I'm in an extremely blessed thriller right now. Hopefully God makes it a movie someday or something, because it's exciting. So we talk about it all the time, man. We go to Six Flags. We enjoy moments with each other. We go to the movie, enjoy moments with each other, man. We be lounging, just kicking and playing games. You know, and we also do our separate lives. You know, we don't be clicking like that all the time. You know, our girls get in the way sometimes, but it's a good time.
Oh, most definitely. Now, Joey, you know, you're not set too far from your fight. When you sit back and think about it, what would you like to say to your fans or the people that haven't seen Joey Black Eyes Davis? What can they expect come the 25th?
You're gonna expect a domination, a total domination of pure rage. That's the best way to put it. Put it this way: somebody that, you know, went legendary and got paid for what they're doing and didn't get to express it the first fight as well as he wanted. You know, he went out there and took it lightly. So this second fight, I don't know what's gonna happen. I'm not mad at myself or anything. Or I'm excited to see what's gonna happen myself. So I don't like to tell. Knock the guy out, or I'm going to do this and that. No, something's going to happen. I'm not a born fighter. Everything I do is very creative, and it's to hurt you, and it's to do something spectacular. So I'm just like my cousin AJ Mercenary, man. He's something special. He does a lot of people can't do in the cage, and I'm just trying to be the most creative person in the cage as well.
I hear you there, and I think it's going to be a tremendous night for you. Young man, you've astonished me. You know, the humility that you speak with is great, but then you also have this tone that tells the world that be prepared because, you know, Black Ice is coming. And then you look at the path that you've traveled on your whole life. It's been a making of a tremendous athlete, and I think that, like you said, that day hasn't come yet. I think when it does, the world will be shocked. You know, it truly has been an honor to be able to have someone like you on my show, because I get these kids nowadays that they've got this entitlement feeling, they've got this entitlement thought. But when you hear you speak of the sport as, you know, it's an opportunity that you haven't, you know, been able to, you know, show your full potential. And that's a tremendous attribute to have. You're a very humble, young, eager warrior, and I can't wait to see your outing. It's tremendous. When you look at your dad, like I said earlier, you know, we find somebody in life that mentors us, guides us. You talk very highly of your dad. You know, what aspect was it that initially led you into the sport of wrestling. But, you know, I think you might have even said your dad was a competitor himself, Craig.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what led me into it. And my brother as well, he's also 10 years older than me, Brandon Davis, was a wrestler at Compton High School when my dad was a coach. And that's where it started. I was 5 years old. I was a soccer player initially, was trying to be a soccer player. My first tournament, I had shin pads on and some Nike shoes. And my dad took me there at my brother's tournament. I lost my first match 11-12 to a kid named Chad Thornock. A month, 2 months later, I got to practicing a little bit because I was crying. And my dad said, we ain't going to never be a quitter. I ended up beating the kid 10-9. And me and the kid, Chad Thornock, became friends and so on and so on. So his journey in high school, and then that's where it started. Yeah.
That's where it started. You know, my friend, you're going to make history. And like I said, I'm truly honored that you came on. I can't wait to see you. Ladies and gentlemen, he'll be at, get it right here so I don't mess up, Bellator 182 on the 25th, and he'll be facing JT Ross. Well, JT, I think you got your hands full for you, buddy. Black Ice is coming. You know, you kind of mentioned, before I let you go here, you kind of mentioned what your nickname was. What relevance was it to you, and who gave that name to you?
I think my dad came up with the Black Ice. Now, one day we were just like, you know, we didn't want to be like Chuck Liddell, and not taking nothing from Chuck Liddell or saying we were going to be like them. We just wanted to come up with something more different. I even got it tatted on me now, Black Ice. So I think that name's mine, and I just want to be like, you know, just like in Cleveland. You know, it's, you can't even see it coming. You know, I'm coming out of nowhere. I'm slick. I'm fast. You know, I'm clean and I'm fresh and and it's something that I just wanted to create, and I feel like I'm going to be optimistic, but it's just dangerous. So, and then Snoop Dogg named me Iceman the first time, you know what I mean? So I just wanted to put the Black Ice on it just to make it seem the coldest.
I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the future of the sport of mixed martial arts, coming from a wrestling pedigree, transitioning over and, a young man, your future is so bright. Once again, I want to thank you for coming on the show. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. Any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything you would like to add to the program, the floor is yours, Joey.
Right, so. I want to shout out Sean Merriman Lights Out. He's been trying to help me, Affliction. One of my main sponsors has been helping me for a long time. Lena Eggs with the great eggs. I love her eggs. TC1 is a sweat gel I use and stuff like that. I want to very thank them. It helps me make weight. And Joy Iceman is my Instagram. Joy Iceman is my Twitter. If you want to follow me, get at me. That's it, man. Thank you.
Oh, the honor's been all mine, son. Well, I want to thank you, and I look forward to meeting you on the 25th at Bellator. Much continued success, and I plan on having you back on the show if you want to after your show, and I'll see you at the Bellator.
All right, man. Thank you. No problem. I will be back on, man. No problem. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, man. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Joey Black Ice Davis, a humble young man. I mean, 133-0 in wrestling, a Notre Dame prodigy, rewrote the history books, comes from the obscurity of Compton, and doesn't even feel that he's even gotten started in the sport. You know, that's a humble young man right there. And being under the mentorship of Antonio McKee, truly tremendous. You know, Antonio will be on the end of this show. And when he comes on, man, we'll kind of touch on him just for a little bit. But let's take a one-minute timeout. When we come back, we'll have our next guest.
Come on, 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 come on
I'm your host, Don McGuire. I apologize for the long intro. I'm not feeling up to par. As most know, I had surgery, and a lot of people jumped in my ass for even doing a show tonight, but I got to get up and get going. Let's go ahead and give our next guest a call.
You have reached the voicemail box of 818.
Well, I guess that isn't going to work. We'll go ahead and give our next guest, I forgot, a call. Sometimes that happens in live radio. You just got to kind of pull back and jump to the next guest, and that's what we'll do. Just bear with me one second. I apologize to my listeners. I choose to do a live show. I don't know why. I guess it's because of the value of it, but let's go ahead and give our next guest a call. It should start ringing here. Great technical difficulties, I guess. I don't know. There we go. The internet for you. Hello, it's Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. Oh, it's still ringing. I guess I'm sure the internet's messing up. Batting a thousand here. I probably should just listen to everybody and not even do a show tonight. Not going to answer. Let's take another brief intermission and I'll be right back.
My man Nelly, Murph Lee, Puff Daddy.
You have reached the voicemail box of 81.
I tell you what, I'm batting a thousand here. It's kind of embarrassing, but at the same time, you gotta make things happen. I apologize, but I'm just gonna have to go on to a delay here so I can send out a text and see what's going on.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day, running from the police. That's right, mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father. He was gone.
I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own.
All right, I apologize for the delay. I'm getting a little cheat off myself. I just was able to get a hold of somebody, and they informed me he's at the gym and may have his phone turned off, but for me to call him back.
You have reached the voicemail box of 818.
Well, Virgil, we'll just have to get you on another show. I appreciate the offer. You know, see, that's one thing in life, people, when you do a live show like I do, you have to deal with what I'm dealing with, and we're probably going to get the same thing out of our next guest, because both of them were from the sweet sport of science, and they don't pay attention to clocks too well. But let's try it one more time to get Tony. Come on, James. That's not going to happen. Let's pull plan three out of our rear end and pull our last guest on and see if we can somehow get him to come on the show. You know, that's the problem with doing live radio. You have to deal with the ups and downs of it, and I really don't like looking like a jerk, but we'll get a hold of our last guest and get him on right now. We're going to make this show happen, damn it. I am going to make this show happen. I didn't get out of my sick bed to not make it happen. So let's go ahead. Let's call Antonio
Hello?
Antonio, this is Don McGuire with The Fighter's Voice. I hope you don't mind. I had to call you a little bit early. Will that work out, sir?
Okay.
Did I catch you at a bad time? I could redo it at the scheduled time. I just, James Tony didn't.
No. This is fine. We can go ahead and get it out the way. Am I doing it like this on the program?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do it. You're live right now, bro.
Okay, let me clear the other line here. Hold on one second.
All right. You got to love live radio, people. On the line with me is the great one, Antonio McKee, my OG in life. Always coming through for a brother. We'll make it happen. He's going to clear that other line, and we'll get this show bumping, and then we'll bring Virgil Hill on and James Tony on at the end of the program. You there?
Yeah, dog.
What's up, dog? What's up?
What's happening, baby?
Well, you know, hey, first and foremost, I did talk to you, but you were in Russia and the UK, but I haven't talked to you since the birth of your child, man. How's that been?
Man, everything is moving fast. It's moving fast. It's consistent. We're picking up new guys. We got Aaron Pico training with us. You know, it's just one stop after another. Brother Kevin Casey came in. I mean, we're moving quick, man. You know, I think the word's getting out. People like you keeping my name out there is working.
Well, you know, to be quite honest with you, I had another one of your new fighters on earlier, and he happens to be part of your family, and that was Joey Black Ice Davis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that dude's so tough, man. He's the next Tyron Woodley. He'll be the next champ.
You know, I asked him in life, you know, when you look at it, I said, of course, I know your father is a mentor to you. I said, but when you look at what you've done, I mean, you went 133-0 at Notre Dame, one of the top schools in the, hell, I'd say the world, not just the country. And then, you know, you make your first outing in Bellator last year, I said, you know, who has been the other guiding light in the making of you, Joey? He said, Antonio McKee. Without my father and without Antonio McKee, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. What does it mean to you, Antonio, to have people in your life say these things about you and share the love that you instilled in them with others in the world?
Man, you know what? I don't even look at it like that. I'm just doing it out of love. And in return, I'm getting love back. I really don't see it that way. You know, it's just what I do. It's who I am. There's no act. I don't have to put on a costume. I'm doing what I truly enjoy doing, and that's helping people.
Most definitely. And matter of fact, another one of your friends that you've reached out and helped in many aspects of life, Vinicius Correz, hit me up today and he asked me, when you have Antonio on, would you mind asking him what his thoughts and where his perceptions are on the Muhammad Ali Act? And I told him I would do so. So with that being said, where have you seen the gains in the sport as far as the Muhammad Ali Act is concerned, sir?
Well, you got to remember, in the beginning, I was one of the guys that were pioneer pushing that, and I got a lot of bad energy, a lot of negativity from the UFC, and a couple of other big names. So, you know, when my son decided he wanted to fight, I felt that it would be better for his career and me to not represent it. But I think the Ali Act is something that the fighters need. It should be mandatory that they have something like that compared to what's going on right now.
Yes. You know, a lot of people, you know, including myself, I dislike Conor McGregor. But there's one thing I think he did in his career that I will commend him for, and that was getting his boxing license in the state of California. You know, one thing that Conor McGregor, he isn't stupid. You know, when a lot of people were trying to unionize the sport, trying to get things in that aspect, Conor McGregor went and got his boxing license. But, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, it's so he could fight Mayweather. But when you look at the deeper story of it, he did it to protect himself as a fighter in a 360 perspective. When you look at that, do you feel that a lot of mixed martial arts fighters should be licensed in boxing so they can be covered by the Muhammad Ali Act?
Absolutely. It was a very smooth move. I don't think a lot of people paid attention to it. I did. And I said he's going to start something and everybody's going to have to finish it. So it was a very smart move on his behalf. And he goes under those laws and the acts that support fighters.
Yeah. And it's true. It's complete 360 coverage. You know, I saw something the other day and it had me reach out to you. And it was one of the main reasons why I put you on the show with Joey, is because you're also getting ready to fight. You know, if you look on social media, you can't find it as far as Tapology or Wikipedia. So why don't you fill my listeners in and your fans on where they can see the Mandingo? I mean, because it's coming up shortly.
Yeah, you know what? I'm getting back in the cage October 7th at the Pyramid in the city of Long Beach. It's been a long time coming. You know, I put a lot into this sport. I've done a lot for the sport. I'm training some really, really high-level guys now. And, you know, it's going to be a pleasure to get back in that cage with no – I mean, I have nothing to stop me, to hold me back, to slow me down. There's no wife issue. There's no it's just a freedom fight for me. You know, where I get a chance to go in and do what I do and just enjoy myself again. You know, training with the guys that I train with, I don't feel like there's not anybody I can't fight right now.
You know, I don't think there isn't either. You know, one thing that Joey did bring up, he said, why would I not want to be under the mentorship of a man that has been there, has done it, and is still doing it? And I think that's one of the things that I look up to you about, you know, Antonio is, you know, you even said it yourself. You just live it, you know. So this isn't anything out of the norm for you. You know, this is something that you were destined to do. I'm still holding that card in my back pocket, you know, to see you and AJ on the same card. That's the day that I'm waiting for. You know, would you say that this fight is going to be a major stepping stone to making a Bellator card with AJ McKee and Antonio McKee happen?
I think so, but I thought this would be like a warm-up fight, but unfortunately my opponent's not going to be a warm-up opponent. He's a very seasoned fighter. He's a young gun in his time. He's got a great record. He's had a lot of fights. He's a lot younger than me. But I just feel like I'm just getting better and better and better and better. I feel like I'm way better than I was before. You know, I think after my performance, I think Bellator is going to be more than happy to have me on there, without a doubt.
I think so. I think so too, man, because – you know, I keep going back to the Joey interview, but he spoke so highly of you. And I, after speaking to almost all of your fighters, you know, the one thing I take away, and I don't know if you realize this or not, but you can see that not only have you taught these young warriors well, and you give them great humility, and you teach them the road to righteousness, but I think Antonio McKee is gaining a lot in retrospect from being able to do that. I think it's allowing you to be able to continue to live who you are in your heart and in your mind. Would you say that's a fair analogy?
Oh, absolutely, man. You couldn't have said it any better, you know. I don't feel like I've done enough. And I don't know if I'll ever feel like I've done enough. Until I've got champions back-to-back and I'm mentoring people to do the right thing with this sport, make as much money as they can, preserve their bodies, cause damage, don't get no damage. I don't feel like my job's ever going to be over.
No, I don't think it ever will, man. You know, like my listeners heard earlier, and there ain't no shame in my game. I really don't care who knows, you know. And when I have problems in life, I'll be the first to admit, I call you. You know, Antonio, you're a man full of wisdom and knowledge, and You have great ability. When you look back over your shoulder, when you look back in life or even a reflection in the mirror, who would you say led you to being this mentor?
Man, I think coming up through all the shit that I've been through, all the things that I've seen, all the drug dealers, all the people getting killed, being in a boys' home, growing up in a foster school, being in a mental hospital. I mean, man, what the fuck, and excuse my language, could happen that could have been worse. Death would have been a fucking honor for me. I would have honored death than to go through what I went through as a young child. But at the same time, looking at who I am today, maybe I wouldn't be that guy of strong character who I am today. I mean, I've led so many men to getting baptized and getting saved and getting their rights right, you know, getting their life right. These guys were out killing and robbing people every night, and that doesn't happen anymore. Those guys stopped, and now they're mentoring with me. People like them. You know, it's funny, the other day I was at my gym and this Hispanic lady had a car accident and her tire blew out and she had a baby in her hand. And I walked, she came into my gym and she was like, "Can you call AAA for me?" I said, "Listen, wait 20 minutes, 30 minutes and I'll help you with your car." I didn't know exactly what was going on. When I went outside after I got done teaching my class, I went in my wallet. I had $50 in my wallet. I said, "Here's $50. Take this money and get your tire fixed." I realized that there's no tire place open at 7 o'clock. So I said, "You know what? Let me help you." I jacked the car up, took the tire off, jumped in my truck, drove down the street, found the tire shop closing. I said, "Listen, man, this Hispanic lady's at the end of the corner. She blew out her tire. I'll pay for it if you'll just take the time and give her a new tire." He charged me $35. I got a spare tire, took it, put it on her car, told her to keep the $50. I said, "I don't know what, but something told me to tell you to keep the $50. Do you know what she did? She started crying to me. She said, "I'm exactly $50 short on my rent. I was about to be evicted, and I didn't know how I was going to get the money, let alone get my tire fixed." I said, "You know what? God is so powerful that you never know when he's going to show up and show out. So don't ever think whatever you're going through, it's gonna do you in, because nothing's gonna do you in. He can only give you more, no more than you can handle, and that's in his word, and that's his word. So let's live by that. I said, when I got done and I changed the tire, you know, people outside my gym start calling me. They said, take off your cape. And I was like, what do they mean, take off my cape? Well, basically, I guess the girl looked like a whore. And they were like, you know, you're Captain Save a Whore. And I thought in my mind how fucking sick they were, how messed up they were. I said, that could have been somebody's mother. That could have been your daughter. That could have been your sister. And you guys are so mean and cruel. I said, you know, the sad part about it is that one day you're going to need somebody to be the man that I just was for that girl. And I did it out of my kindness of my heart. And to know that she needed $50 to pay her rent and I fixed her tire, you know how good that made me feel, bro? Like I said, God shows up and pulls out, because I didn't know, and I only had $50. She said, I'm exactly $50. So when I got done, I said, you know what? I said, God wants you to go home, and he wants you to open up the Bible and pray and give your life to him, and you don't have to struggle anymore. I don't know if she did it. I know I did what I was supposed to do.
And you've been doing what you're supposed to do ever since. You know, Antonio, I remember when we first started doing shows way a while back, a couple of years now, you know, and the passion that you had for the sport and for life. And hell, I even remember our first interview when we talked about when, you know, you used to bring AJ up and bathe him in a crock pot. You know, you're a man that comes from a humble heart. You're a man that gives to many. And life is treasured in your eyes. And now, you know I like talking about family, so we're going to go there for a minute. So now you got this new addition to the McKee, you know, family, like we kind of talked about earlier. Kind of got things a little fast-paced, got the old man on Jump Street. But when you sit back and you realize what you're doing in life, how much more grateful does it make you to sit there and hold your baby and realize that life has truly been blessed, and AJ McKee and Antonio McKee have truly found their calling?
You know what, man? It's another adventure. With it, you know, this baby reminds me so much of AJ. He's got big hands, long arms. I mean, you can tell he's going to be a fighter, a wrestler. It's in his blood. He breathes it. I just think it'll be so much easier to do it all over again this time, because I'm not doing it alone. My son can help me do it. You know, we're slowly creating that bond that I've always wanted to have as a father, to be a father, and, to, you know, wishing I would have had a father. I'm able now to create that by being a father, you know. And it's just, man, I don't even have words for it. I really don't. You know, I don't sit back and think about what I'm doing. I'm just doing it. There's a lot of evil people out in this world, man. There's a lot of people that say mean things about me, and they don't even know me, or they didn't like my style of fighting. At the end of the day, maybe you don't like my style of fighting, but what about my lifestyle? You know, it just kills me how mean and vicious people are. And there's a side of me that can get real ugly, you know, and I try to just stay away from that side. I try to stay positive. I try to stay around people who are flowing with the energy that I'm flowing with, and that's positive energy.
Well, you're a true dude, you know, because I'll be honest with you, you know, and to my listeners too, you know, Antonio was supposed to be the last guest on the show this evening, and this is what happens. People always ask me, Don, why do you do live radio if there's going to be hiccups? And I look at it as life, you know, because first I was supposed to call Virgil Hill. He's got his phone off. He's at the gym. Then James Toney was supposed to come on, and I wasn't able to get a hold of him either. But the reason I do what I do is because whether it has a hiccup in it or it works perfectly, it's for the greater being. It's from the passion in my heart. It's what I was meant to do. It's my way of contributing back to the sport. So if I have a show that has a couple hiccups on it, you know, that's nothing compared to what I've been through in life. You know, a lot of people jumped on me today because I just had surgery, as you know from seeing my post. And, you know, people think that I need to take time off. I need to do this. My sponsors, everybody, are knee-deep in my rear end and saying, Don, you need to take time off and recoup. You know, you've been in this sport a long time. You know, my philosophy is that if I was to lay down in bed and go, oh, woe is me, I'm hurting, they just, you know, repaired half of my intestines and my stomach and sat and cried about it, then that's where I would be. But my mentality is that I need to just get up, get going, and get back to where I was. Would you say that, because I look at you as a mentor, would you say that I'm on the right path? Because I'm not one to sit in the bed and cry about it, bro.
Man, look, you are moved by spirit, okay? Whether it's a good spirit or a bad spirit, you're moved by the spirit. And if your spirit is allowing you to do what you're doing, then you're supposed to be doing it. And when you're not, your spirit will stop you. I think you are doing what you want to do because you can. A lot of people can't. A lot of people won't. But since you can, keep doing it. It's not doing you. You're doing it. So enjoy it, man. Just keep letting the good times roll, baby. And if you ever need anything, you know I got your back, man.
Oh, I know.
All you got to do is call me.
And you know what, people? That's not an understatement or a misleading statement. That man truly means it. I mean, there's been days that, hell, like I said, I called you at, what, 3:30 in the morning in the United Kingdom thinking you were in L.A. and you're in the U.K., and you picked up the phone at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning just to talk with me. I mean, you're a true brother. You know, when this event happens, Antonio, how much is it going to mean to you to step back into that octagon and prove to the world who the Mandingo is?
Man, you know, I've been just trying to deal with the pain. My body hurts, but it's always hurting. It's always hurting, but what I want to do is I want to say, you know what, you can do it naturally, and you can do it at this age, and you can do it at the high levels. I didn't abuse my body with drugs, steroids, weed, alcohol. I abused my body with hard work, and I've got the bruises from the hard work, but you know what, I don't have the suffering. A lot of fighters are suffering right now, and their careers are over. They're financially in trouble with the taxes and the government. They don't have anything to show for it. They were fight paycheck to paycheck. They took fights that were fights that they shouldn't have took because they weren't healthy. Here's me. I'm fighting because I want to fight. I want to fight. I want to see, is it possible to go and make another title run at 155 pounds at 47 years old? Because I'll tell you what, there's nobody in the division that will wrestle me. But this isn't about wrestling. So I'm real curious if I got it in me. You know, I think Bellator better be real careful because I may be running for that title.
I think you will be, bro. You know, people, if you've never met Antonio McKee and you meet him in life, the dude looked 27, 30 years old. I mean, he don't even look a day over 30. And I think it attributes to the lifestyle that you've had. I think you learned at a very young age, Antonio, that, you know, how life was supposed to be and what God's presence was going to be in your life. And I think at that point in time, you figured out to share the wealth and knowledge. How much does it mean to you, you know, Antonio, to know that where you started isn't where you're at now, and it's just the beginning, especially with your fighters?
Yeah, you know, man, like I said, man, if I would have dreamt this shit a long time ago, I couldn't have imagined it being this type of a ride. I don't think there's anything greater than watching your son come up in your footsteps and be better than you. Not only in fighting, but better in life, better as a friend, better as a person. I just don't, you know, you can't. There's no explanation for this type of stuff. You can't explain it. There's it's beyond an emotion. You know what I mean? It's beyond an emotion. I can't even describe it because it's not something that you can compare it to unless you've done it. And if you've done it, at what level did you do it at, and how can you compare it to what I've been through and what I'm doing? So this is just one of those things where I'm just going to take it to my grave and continue to do what I'm doing and continue to support people like yourself that are supporting people like me, regardless of what people have to say about you, me, or your show, or my style of fighting. Who are we as people, as human beings? Who are we? When I die, I just want people to say, you know, that was a good man. He was a good man. He was a good, fair man. Now, I've done a lot of things that weren't right. But I've done way more things in my life than what was wrong. Right. Times 100 to 1,000. So when you learn from something you've done wrong or something that's not right, I don't consider that a problem. I don't consider it a mistake. I consider it a lesson you were learning. And that's what you had to go through to learn it. You do the same thing over and over and over again. You're no longer learning a lesson. You're now being what you call, what they say is crazy or insane. Now you're showing those statistics. So I've just constantly, I keep growing. You know, my problem wasn't drugs. My problem were women, man. I love beautiful girls. I mean, a lot of men have that problem, but they don't talk about it. Well, I talk about it. Because I know it was a problem and I wanted to change it. And, you know, I'm at a point now where, you know, I'm not doing what I was doing back then. You know, I've got a new child on the way. I'm about to get married again. I would like to talk to somebody that could really explain to me the existence about man and woman, because I just feel like it's so natural for man to have more than one woman. And then, you know, when I think about my daughter, I'm like, okay, I have a daughter. How do I feel about her having more than one man? The difference is a man can handle that. A woman can't handle that. It's funny. Spiritually, they just fall apart or they fall in love with one. They treat one worse than the other. We could just love them all. So, I've got my battles. My battles is just trying to remain focused and being in a relationship with one person. And that's probably the only battle that I have. Other than that, man, I'm all right.
You've been all right, no matter what you think. I mean, you straight G. You truly are a person that I admire and respect in life. Your team that you've built is insurmountable. I look forward to your fight coming up. I know it's going to be a tremendous night in the McKee household and Team Body Shop, and you're going to break history, my friend. You're going to rewrite history, and then down the road you're going to step out with AJ and you're going to rewrite history again. You're just getting started, man. You're just getting warmed up. You know, the world is
man.
At your disposal. You know, it's,
man,
it's tremendous.
I'm glad
it's
you
tremendous.
Know. I'm glad
I've noticed
that,
for
bro.
A long time.
Because you know what? I don't feel like nothing can stop me. I really feel like when you're walking right with the Lord, man, and, you know, I don't want to seem like I'm some guy running around carrying a Bible, because that's not who I am, but I do know that there is a God. I do know there is, whatever you want to call him, Allah, Yahweh, Yeshua, Jesus, whatever. There is something, brother, powerful, and it moves in all of us at the right time.
Yes, it does. You know, and I'm a firm believer in God myself, and God's led me in the path I am in life, and I don't have any regrets on the path I took. I've been truly blessed in life as you. You know, my friend, if you could give a statement to what people can expect come this October from the Mandingo, what would you say?
I'm going to make the mouths open. Pure entertainment. Like, how is this guy doing this? How is he doing this naturally? How is he out here fighting at this level? At this level, at this age, naturally. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that play a role in me being able to get out here and do what I do. So I'm not going to try to take all the credit for it, because I want to work with doctors. I want to work with people who want to do things on a holistic level, who want to do things on a spiritual level. I don't want to take any shortcuts. I don't want to stick a needle in my ass. You know what I mean? I don't want to do HGH, human growth hormones. I don't want to do none of that. I want to do what's natural. And that's go out here and perform. I mean, the older you get, the more technical you get. A lot of people don't know that. But you just got to be in shape. And that's my biggest fear, is not being in shape. But I think I'm going to be in great shape. Got great guys to push me. So expect fireworks to shoot off.
I do, because I love the way you stated that too, because one thing I realized the older I've gotten, you know, and I'm a little bit older than you, but the one thing that I realized
right.
that I do now is as I find myself looking more outside the box than I used to, and I've always been outside the box, but I always find myself looking for that other angle, looking for that other edge that's gonna keep me on top, keep me going, and keep me blessed. And I see that in you through our talks. You know, Antonio, you truly have humbled me in life. You humble my listeners by coming on and speaking the truth. You always have a home on my show. At this point in time, brother, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. And you got sponsors this time, bro. So if you got any sponsors, friends or family, or any social media sites where people can follow the Mandingo, where would that be?
Man, you know me, man. I just stay humble. I'm on Instagram, Antonio McKee. I'm on Facebook, Antonio McKee. My sponsors is God. Let's keep him first and foremost. And my sponsors is you, giving me the opportunity to always voice my honest opinion and just to constantly be more motivating for those who are down and out, man. Look, my cell phone number is 562-234-7950. Regardless of what it is, you need to talk. I think I got all the answers, man. And if I don't, I tell you what, I know how to pray on it. And so far, I'm hitting 99% accuracy.
If not better. I tell you.
You know what I mean?
Hey, Antonio, was I lying? Bro, do I go to you for advice?
Man, you know me. I don't sleep, bro. I'm up 24/7, 7 days a week. And it's only seven days in a week, so I'm 7 days in a week up.
Right. Oh, yeah, Antonio, thank you so much for truly blessing my show and saving my behind. You truly are instrumental in my life, and I love you, bro.
I love you too, boss, man. I love the show and the fans that are listening. Hey, may God continue to bless you. All of us, man, and we become victorious together. There's a lot of stuff out here, man, that's not right at this point in time, 2017. So the only way that we can win and defeat what's going on now is by just true love, bro. There's no faking the funk now. Love, 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 love. As long as you can do that, you can defeat this evil-ass world. You can defeat these evil-ass people. You know, I get a lot of people to say a lot of mean stuff, and I kill them. I kill them with love. I said, hey, you know what? I'm sorry you feel that way, but you know what? My daughter loves who I am as a father. That person that I'm helping loves me as a mentor, as a helper. So I feel sorry that you don't get anything out of it, but find somebody that you know that can help you, because you obviously got some serious issues. Take this time and post this bull crap on my page. If you look on my page, it's all about positive stuff. I don't post negative stuff. And that's the world I want to live in. So, again, Don, I appreciate everything, man. And give me a holler if you need anything. And I'm getting ready to get in here and train AJ, getting ready for August 25th.
Sounds good, brother. Love you, man. Thank you, and God bless.
All right, boss. Okay.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Antonio McKee. We're running a little behind, so we're going to call Shakir McKillop right now.
Hello.
Hello, Shakir. This is the Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire. How you doing, boss?
I'm good. How about you?
Oh, I apologize first and foremost for running about 8 minutes behind. One of my guests, well, James Tony, didn't answer his phone. And then we went to Virgil Hill, and that didn't happen. And so I kind of ran a little bit late with Antonio McKee, so I apologize on that note. You know, I saw an article the other day that was on social media, and it was something that you wrote. And I'm gonna let you explain it, but I'm gonna build up the question, you know, because it led me to want to bring you on the show, because to me it showed your passion as a warrior, it showed your love for life, and it showed truly what you were about. You know, you were talking about I don't call them losses, so let's get that clear real quick. You were talking about a lesson that you'd learned in a fight, and it kind of changed some thoughts in your mind. Why don't you fill my listeners in, you know, what was behind the article that you wrote and posted on social media the other day?
Oh, for sure. Around, I took a lesson learned hard against a fighter that I fought my last MMA fight, and this is a guy that we've trained together and we've been through it together. And I fought him as an amateur and won, and so I went in this fight 100% prepared and had a confidence. And then when I got in the fight, nothing clicked. Nothing worked. Nothing clicked. And I was just like, man, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I'm doing something wrong. And instead of like trying to figure out what I was doing wrong right then and there, I gave up. I was just like, I'm done. Maybe I don't have what it takes to go ahead and finish through. And I end up just sitting back and just evaluating everything. And I met a guy named Giuliano. Emily Ducote, she's a long friend. We've trained together before, and she was at American Top Team. And Giuliano messaged me, and he said, hey, are you interested in teaching kids class still? And I was like, yes, sir, I am, because I always have a passion to teach. And that's one of my biggest things is I love teaching, and I love kids. So I said, yes, I am, and I went there and started teaching kids class and talking to him. And long story short, he said, what are you waiting for? When are you going to fight again? And I told him I retired. I said, I'm done. I'm just going to be a jiu-jitsu guy. I'm going to sit back and just do jiu-jitsu. And he laughed at me, and he said, we'll talk later. And that was the last of that. And a month went by of me just teaching for him. And he said, are you having a passion yet? And I said, I actually am. And I started training with him. And basically, he told me everything that I was doing to prepare for a fight, all the stuff that I thought I was shortcutting and getting around, I was doing all wrong. And he broke me down, made me basically start all over and just show me the proper way to build everything up. And instead of hopping right back in MMA, he was just like, I want you to do a kickboxing tournament. And so I was like, all right. And I ended up doing this 10-man kickboxing tournament, getting seeded last in the tournament. I haven't fought in a year, and I came back, and I actually I feel like I performed the best that I've ever performed, and it was a great feeling. And I placed in second. I ended up losing to decision in the final match, but it was a great fight, and I mean, it could have went either way.
Yeah, when you look back at life, I mean, because you're a young man, you look, we all have this thought, this premonition, and we even get to the point that we do say we give up, you know, because we feel that we're not on the avenue that we were meant to be, and we've got others telling us things, and we got all this chaos going around us. So, you know, when you sit back and you finally just said, I've had enough, you know, it's because there's so much insurmountable pressure, just not in your thoughts, but with everybody around you. But in this case, you had somebody reach out to you and help you find that passion, that piss and vinegar, if you'd say, in you, that reinstilled what you love in the sport. Now, you talk about the love and the passion that you have working with kids. What does that aspect of your life, son, what does it do for you, and how has it helped you and instilled thoughts as you step in the cage?
I feel like it's absolutely humbled me 100%. Working with kids have shown me that you have to be patient. And just like adults, like I never looked at it from a coach perspective, like, man, why is he drilling this into me? Like, I think I got it, and I get out there and I can't remember a move or I can't remember this. And just doing it with the kids and seeing the kids over and doing the same move over and over and seeing them learn and actually get it, and it just opened my eyes to experience everything differently. And one of the things that you touched on before was you said that when I had given up at threw in the towel. Another thing that I wrote in the post was God is good. I'm a firm believer in God, and I believe everything works on His time. And I honestly believe if I would not have taken those lessons and would not have gone through the fire, I wouldn't be as ready and as excited and as, you know, eager as I am now to actually show everyone and showcase my ability and my skill.
Yeah. When, you know, we all go through certain aspects in life, and you basically were handed a gift from God by having a coach from America's Top Team and a fighter in Emily Ducote, you know, basically reach out to you. They saw something in you that you didn't see in yourself. What does that do for you, Shakur, knowing that other people see the ability that you ascertain, and they helped you bring it to the forefront, and now you're understanding it, now you're pursuing it?
It means a lot to me, and I've also had coaches tell me, like, man, you have the ability, you have this, and you have that, and it's not until you believe it that you really can achieve it. And I believe that, like, Giuliano, he came to me, and he reached out to me, and he relit that fire that I needed to be relit. And now having coaches back me up and see what I'm doing and see how far I can actually go. I mean, all my coaches, from Ruben Zemeron to Kendrick Coleman, all of them see something in me. And it's not just like, you're good, like, let's just do this. They all push me every class, every day. They all push me, like, you want to be the best? We see it. Do you want to be the best? Like, they push me, and it's never nothing easy now. And it makes me feel good. I have a drive, so now I want to push. I want to get better. I want to be pushed to the limits every time. And I believe, like, having someone behind you saying, hey, I see this in you. Like, are you going to go get it with me, or are you going to just sit back? It lights me, and it feeds me, and it makes me want to go out and get it as well.
That's a tremendous attribute to have. You know, as I don't know if you were listening to the show with Antonio McKee, but, you know, a lot of people jumped in my rear end, and I'll reiterate it again. My listeners are probably going, not again. But, you know, I had surgery last week, and a lot of people were mad that I was doing a show tonight because they don't think I should. But, you know, I think it kind of relates to your story. You know, I could lay in bed and sit there and say, I give up on the show for right now. I give up on what I love and the passion that's in me for a moment because I had a surgery and everybody thinks I should take my time off. But that wouldn't be me. And like Antonio McKee said, you know, only I know what's going to get me going again. And doing interviews like this with people like you truly are what my passion and my heart is. You know, as you know, I shoot the sport, but I've been doing this for 10 years. I've had a stupid show tonight because of, you know, when you do live radio and you don't have a guest that shows up, it kind of throws everything sideways. But
absolutely,
when you look at the path that you've traveled, it's been a chaotic one. You know, the sport is a hard business to be in. When you look at the passion that you finally, you know, found again in your heart, you know, I knew I had to have you on the show because you're the type of person that I like to focus. You're the type of person that is what this sport is about. You know, everybody thinks it's about the guys that are champions and the guys that are legends in the sport. Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes it is, and I do bring those people on my show. But what thrives in my heart and in my mind is fighters like you that are the future of the sport, the ones that are keeping it going now. When you look at everything that, you know, America's Top Team has done for you, and you look at the adversity that you just found triumph over, what do you take away from the sport, son, and what does the sport mean to you?
What I take away from the sport is, honestly, this sport has taught me so much in life that I feel like I'll never be able to give back to the sport, no matter if I teach kids until I die. That's part of the reward I feel like this sport needs for me, or needs to get for me, because it taught me how to humble myself, how to not be the big head, not be the show off, not be the guy that everyone talks about, like, oh, he's great, but the guy that, no, he's a hard worker. He works hard. He pushes himself. He pushes everybody. He lifts everybody. And honestly, I feel like what the sport has done for me is they've given me that outlook on life. Instead of not talking to a neighbor or not introducing myself to a new person as we meet, I feel like now it's as soon as I meet someone, hi, I'm Shakir McKillop. How are you? What's your name? I'm the guy that's out there that's really friendly, that's really out there, that's really energetic, brings energy, and a nice guy everybody wants to be around. And I feel like this sport has broken me down and built me back up to be a guy like that, that everyone will want to be around and everyone loves. And except when you're in a cage with me, of course, but other than that, I mean, I just feel like that's what the sport has done. It's given me a new outlook and a view on life.
I love that. You know, that's very well said. You know, just listening to you, I took away a couple of things that kind of caught my ear. You know, one is that you say that before you like to be the man in the corner, well, that's kind of how I like to be in life too. You know, as a photographer, we're always the man in the shadows. But you also talk about your love for the mat. You know, what is it about the love for the mat that enthralls you, Shakir? What is it that you took away from the mat that allowed you to step up in the octagon?
Honestly, I feel because I started with boxing, and I love boxing, and I mean, I was working hard, and I love boxing, and it just that's my number one, like, love, I feel like. But jiu-jitsu is something that draws me in every time. There's something new. And absolutely, in boxing, you learn something new every time you put on the gloves. Every time you get a new coach in front of you, you're going to learn something new. You're going to learn different angles. You're going to learn how to move. But in jiu-jitsu, it's the slightest thing. It's like this. It's simple and intelligent at the same time. It's so crazy. It's diverse, and I just love that. Like you have to think during jiu-jitsu. You have to be willing to give and receive. And it's just, and I feel like that's the way that I would like, that's the way that I live. So in jiu-jitsu, it's just, I feel at home on the mat. And it's just like, I try to roll and be with everybody and do it all the time. And it's just, I don't know. It's a friendly thing. Like when you're on the mat, you're going to make new friends. You're going to meet new people. You're going to have new life stories on the mat, on any mat you go to. And that's the joy that I love about the mat.
You know, I'm the same way, bro. I shoot some of the best professors in the country. And at first, I'll be honest with you, I hated jiu-jitsu, man. I didn't even want to shoot the seminar. I was just there to collect a paycheck, you know, because I'm like, man, I'm going from a fight to shooting this, you know, whatever. And by the third or fourth one, bro, I was just like, okay, I started getting pulled in. I started paying a little bit more attention to it. And then, you know, by the time I shot J.W. Wright and Rafael Lovato, you know, I was completely enthralled, because these aren't just world-class practitioners. These are magicians, man. These are chess masters. These are individuals that don't need no glory in life. They leave it on the mat, and it left a profound mark on me as a man. And so, you know, just probably about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, before I had my first surgery, I was able to get my first role with J.W. Wright. And, you know, I still look at the video of it, and, you know, it's like I just laugh, because in the beginning, like I said, I hated the sport. I didn't even know why I was shooting it. And now I just find myself not being able to get enough of it. It just encapsulates your heart and your thought. And then to see the brotherhood that is instilled and taken away from that sport, it's second to none. Because most people don't realize, you know, BJJ practitioners don't get paid. You know, they work 9 to 5 just like everybody else. They do this after they work 8-9 hours a day. And yet they're some of the most decent, humble people you will ever meet. And that's my takeaway from, you know, that aspect of the sport. You know, I don't know how accurate Tapology is, but according to the Tapology, in June, you fought Zachariah Punisher Kelly, who happens to be a boxer himself, but he transitions back and forth into MMA. What was it like for you facing a boxer being that you're a boxer in an MMA event?
It's different. It's very different because Zachariah Kelly doesn't have a normal boxing stance, and he doesn't move like an MMA person. He moves a little bit like a karate guy in MMA. So it was hard. It was kind of hard to get his timing down. And I was actually faced Zachariah Kelly at heavyweight and boxing. And weight classes got mixed up, and it just didn't happen at the weight that we agreed to. And I sadly agreed to fight him at 185 pounds. And when he came out in boxing, he came out just like a boxer, chin down and moving side to side. And so when he came out in MMA, he was more straight up and moving. So I didn't really get a good boxing aspect from Zachariah Kelly. But I have been in fights where the guys just wanted to box. And the movement and anything like that is second to none. Once we're in the MMA cage, I feel like, if you just limit yourself to boxing, that's on you. I also feel like boxing is very you can pick up boxing movement side to side very pretty easily, except certain boxers out there. But there's boxers you can pick up a little bit better than the MMA guys that high punches with kicks, that's mixing it with the takedown. And so when I transition to MMA, I feel like, I don't even think about boxing. I'm thinking about it's a MMA fight, and whatever happens, you know, it's going to happen. Let's get it. Let's do it.
Most definitely. You know, your attitude towards the sport has surely, you know, grown from the outreach from AT&T. That article, it touched me because, you know, you don't see very many fighters that will, you know, state what they truly mean or how they truly feel, and you did that, and it said tremendous things about you as a warrior in this sport. And in my heart, I know you got a great future ahead of you. You surround yourself with tremendous fighters, and you know it's a blessing in that aspect. But when you sit back at the end of the night, and you sit back in deep thought, how lucky or how respected do you feel in the sport now, knowing that, you know, as we touched on earlier, that so many people believe in you and have inspired you and now have reinstilled this faith?
I'm extremely, extremely blessed by all the people, all the people that I have in my life since day one. I still have my first jiu-jitsu coach that still texts me and message me and talk to me, Eric Bitten. I still have, jiu-jitsu is a bond that it's hard to break, and you will never break it. And just to hear those guys reassure me, like, and tell me how much faith they have in me, not only reassure me, but also tell me, like, you still have a lot of work to do. Like, let's get in the gym, let's schedule a private, let's get a fighter's practice, let's do this and let's do that. And I mean, seeing that, it just, that's what drives my fire. Having two beautiful girls as well, that also drives me. And my oldest girl, she loves going to the gym, so anytime I pick her up from daycare, let's go to the gym, that's right to the gym, let's go. And so having that, even for my kids, to everybody that once was in my life, that still is and this still support me every day, send messages, and it feels great. And it's that's what drives me, and that's what pushes me to be the best that I can be and continue to grow. And that's why I love everyone.
Yeah. You know, one thing, if I could, you know, instill one thing in your life, Shakir, before, you know, we end up ending this interview in a couple minutes, is, you know, you've got family, and it's a tremendous aspect about being able to do this type of show and not just have people see you on TV or at an event and, you know, give them a chance to really get to know you. Is this show does that. It shares you in all aspects. You know, when you look at family, would you say that it's a fair analogy that not only the coaches like we spoke of, but when you look down at your children and you realize that You know, you want to show them that whenever you set out to do something in life, whether it comes out the way you want it to or not, you see it through. Would you say that that's a fair analogy?
Absolutely, and that's an absolutely great statement. Whatever happens in life, whatever you set your goals for, you can absolutely achieve them. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be U-turns on your way there. I mean, but you have your eyes set on something, you go get it. You don't let no one turn you around or steer you in the off direction. You find people that want to, hey, are you headed that way? Well, me too. Let's go together. You find people that want to get there with you and push you there. Don't give up. Let's go. Let's keep going. And I believe that that's, you know, with the guys that I have around me now and continue to have around me, and that's what I feel like I've done, is surround myself with positive, encouraging people. And, I mean, the sky's the limit. All those guys tear me up and root me up at the same time every day. And, I mean, that's what it's about. When you have guys like that in your corner, you can't go wrong. You prepare yourself for everything right, everything's going to go right.
Most definitely. You know, you're a wise young man, and, you know, you have a tremendous support system around you. When you look into the future, what is on the plate for Shakir McKillop, or have you gone that far yet? Are you just ready to get things up and going again?
I'm always have a life goal that, I mean, I honestly want to make enough money to support my family and fight and open up my own gym. And I want to give back for the rest of my life. That's my goal, is to open up a gym and support and just give back with jiu-jitsu and retire off that and just live off and just die doing that. And so my goal is to take this as far as it's going to, you know, as far as it's going to let me go. And I feel like wherever it goes, I'm hopping on the train. If it's Bellator calling and calling and calling, I'm on with Bellator. If it's, who knows, if it's the UFC calling, hey, we want you to fill in on a fight, hey, I'm your guy. Wherever this train goes, I'm going. And I'm just excited to be on the ride.
I love that. You know, if you had to make a statement to your fans, to my listeners, about what they can expect in the rebirth of Shakir McKillop, what would that statement be?
I would say the statement is, if you want to come watch an exciting fight from the ground to the stand-up, do not miss October 6th. I'm telling you, it's going to be, do not miss Shakir McKillop fighting from now on at all. Anytime you hear about me fighting, it's going to be an exciting fight. I can promise you that. It's going to be, I plan on going to war every time. I'm not planning on stopping my guy early or knocking my guy out or just submitting my guy. I plan on a war. I plan on going against the top guys. I want a war every time. And so if you want someone that wants a war, that wants to fight, that wants to get in there, I'm your guy.
Now, when you look on social media, you know, because we're only allowed to see so much, and sometimes they don't keep pages up as much and things of that nature, because I like things to be factual. I don't know if you can state who your opponent is going to be in your next coming event. Sometimes they have stringent guidelines on that. But if you're able to, why don't you fill my listeners in where your event is going to be and who you will be facing?
It's going to be in Threxville, I believe. And I don't believe I can release who I'm going to be facing yet.
That's fine.
I'm
but
sorry.
But it will be on what, October 6th?
Yes, sir, October 6th. And I have tickets for all of my fans that's listening. I will have tickets tomorrow in hand, and if you are listening to this show and you're in Oklahoma City, look up American Top Team OKC off of Britton and Penn. You guys can come pick up tickets there, and I can just tell you that this fight will be an exciting fight, and it's going to be a showcasing of the new Shakir McKillop.
I love that. You know, one more question, Shakir, before I let you go. You know, I want to truly thank the two gentlemen that helped make this show happen, because these two individuals are probably the most unrecognized, I guess would be a fair assumption or a fair word to use, individuals in the sport, not because they don't want, you know, they just don't want to be like that. You know, I'm speaking about Coach G and Reese Witsovich. These are two gentlemen that truly love this sport. They live it, they breathe it, they see the potential in others, and their job in this sport is to bring that to apparition. And I just want to thank those two gentlemen for connecting you with me and making this show happen, because without them, I don't think I would have been able to have you come on here and tell your story. What do those two gentlemen mean to you, Shakir?
They mean everything. I mean, I appreciate all the opportunities that I get from now on, actually. I mean, everything's a blessing, and I appreciate everything. So from those two getting me on your show to get recognition out, from anything that they have done in my life and done in my career, I mean, from the littlest thing to holding pads for me to telling me I'm not putting the right amount of pressure in side control, I mean, the littlest things, anything that anyone has ever done for me, I'm greatly, greatly, greatly appreciative. And I plan to show everyone what you see, what they see, everyone will see in Shakir McKillop.
And I believe that. You know, if I could ever teach any fighter one thing in life, and I'm sure my listeners are tired of hearing this, but, you know, James Krause said it best, you know. Somebody asked him, what does it mean to be 22-7? He said, I'm not 22-7, I'm 22-0 with 7 lessons learned. But this time I want to add to that, because, my friend, you are a true warrior. And I'm not going to mention any other fighters' names, but I know fighters that have lost 6-7 in a row and gone on to come back to be world champions. So with that being said, you know, I think you're just getting started, my friend. I'm glad you came back to the sport. I'm glad you found people who truly saw the passion that never left you and was able to help you see through the doubt, because I think this sport is going to be a much better place with you in it. With that being said, I look forward to having you back on my show before your fight. That way you can announce who you're going to fight and share your thoughts again with me. On that note, I'm truly honored, and I'd like to hand the microphone over to you, my friend. Any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media, or just anything you would
like
to add to the program?
For sure. Let me start off by saying, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. It's my honor to be on here, and it's my pleasure to talk. I thank you for having me on your show, and I'd just like to thank everyone from the gyms, AMA, from American Top Team, from Solid, all the gyms that I'm fighting with and under, and anything that has anything to do with me, you guys, I appreciate everything. Shout out to everyone out there. One of my major sponsorships is iGrind Empire. Thank you guys. Also looking for sponsorships. So if you want a fighter, if you want someone to go out there and fight hard and fight for you and want your name to be backed up by that, you guys can get in touch with me on Facebook, Shakir McKillop.
On that note, I truly was honored, and I'm, my sponsor, Finished MMA. You know, Juan Martinez, get at this young man. I don't think you'll regret that decision whatsoever. On that note, Shakir, thank you so much for coming on and sharing who you are with my listeners. It's been an honor and a privilege.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Shakir McKillop, a young warrior who was going to walk away from the sport. And as you heard on the show, he had people who believed and seen the passion in him. And when I saw this article on social media, I knew I had to have this young man on the show. And I'm glad I did. You know, I apologize. I'm not up to par tonight. But I still had to do the show. You know, I still got another show tomorrow and another show Thursday. You know, should I have taken everybody's advice and not do the show? Wouldn't be me, you know, because whether I'm sick or not, there's going to be hiccups. Am I on point tonight? No, but that's what makes the show perfect. You know, it's not your Ariel Helwani. It's not your Joe Rogan. It's not your Wikipedia or Tapology show. It's real. And if I can bring you real and share the part of the sport that has fed me, put a roof over my head, then I'm going to do that. At this point in time, I'm going to go ahead and try to give Virgil Hill a call and see what we get.
You have reached the voicemail box of 8186.
Well, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So, you know, he must still be in the gym. You know, I apologize to the fans of James Toney. I apologize. I was going to also add Virgil Hill to the lineup as it was a last-minute add-on. He agreed to do the show a couple hours before. He's in the gym. Obviously, he can't hear his phone. I apologize for the technical difficulties tonight in getting these gentlemen on. I'll bring them back on probably next week as time zones and things like that get confusing. But with that note, I just want to thank Finished MMA for always having my back. Juan Martinez, you really need to get it. Shakir McKillop, he truly is a tremendous young man. To my first guest, Joey Black Eyes Davis, a four-time NCAA champion, 133-0, getting ready for his second fight in Bellator. You don't want to miss that. You know, this guy rewrote history at Notre Dame. And then Antonio McKee, you know, 49 years old, getting ready to step back in the octagon and prove his point. You know, the things I've seen him do over the past few years, I'm not saying he can't do it, because anything is possible with that brother. I mean, he's been a mentor to many, and he's building one hell of a team, and he's just been a tremendous attribute to the sport. You know, like I said, I apologize again for James Toney and Virgil Hill. Don't know what happened there. I can't change live radio, and I can't fix the future. But on that note, I want to wish everybody at the 86ers, the United Way Merced, and Affliction a tremendous evening. And you have a good night, and God bless.
Like he laying it down or something.
Don't do that.
Take that watch for everybody.
That's real.
Look here, dirty. I'm telling you, playboy. If you gonna do it, get to it. Get to it. Trap boys.
What? What?
Yo, 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 Escalade stupendous, Cadillacs and Benzes, money ain't a thing, I'm off the chain when I spin it, pull up in the truck, automatic